Okay, good.
Sure.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you all for coming. Welcome to the newly reconstituted Committee on Environment and Energy. We have, it's always been that way, except this year we were split for a while, and then with the departure of Legislator Pinto to become the head of Veterans Affairs, Legislator Rogowski, who is the chair of the energy side, boldly stood up and said that he would take on the Public Safety Committee. So we thank you for your offer of service, and we curse you for giving us the work. No, it's fine. Thank you.
I'm still
you.
Here.
So it's the same members of the committee. Legislator Rogowski has graciously agreed to stay on as vice chair of both committees, or the one committee now, and will certainly help us drive the agenda for energy as our other members will. The other thing I should mention is that Wendy Wild will be joining as committee coordinator. Chris Crane is still and will always be, hopefully, our counsel to the committee. But Wendy will be working to assist Chris and take some of the workload off of him. So today we're talking about solid waste. We have enough legislators here to get started in the presence of Legislator Testa, Legislator Rogowski, myself, and Legislator Myers. So we now have a full acting quorum. We have a number of guests here. I see the commissioner and some other folks here. So for the record, if you would identify yourselves, please, first, and we'll get started.
Tom Laura, Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Facilities.
Lou Vitrone, Deputy Commissioner.
Mario Parisi, Director of Operations.
Joe Krupa with Malcolm Party.
Okay, thank you. So as we said, you know, we're here to talk about the development of the county's solid waste management plan, which is in development. Malcolm Perney is the consultant that you all have brought in. So my thought is perhaps maybe you could just give us background, how we got to where we are today, what's been developed so far, what is the work plan going forward, and then maybe we'll open it up to questions first from the legislators, and then, of course, as always, from the public who's here. So, Commissioner?
Well, I can start, and then I'll let some of the other people here who have been working on this. But with the solid waste management plan, we have one in place. The solid waste management plans have to be renewed from time to time on a scheduled basis. Or if you make a significant change to your management plan or any of the components of it. As far as the current solid waste management plan, I believe we're getting ready for our upgrade, which is 2012.
Yep. Yes.
So 2012, we have to submit a new one, but certainly there are changes in the offering that we can speak about. But the current one, we really just started. We had just had a kickoff meeting. Just to get started. So we're really at the beginning stages of this, but the solid waste management plan is also impacted by the New York State DEC solid waste management plan. And they have just issued their draft plan. We're looking at it. I think we have comments for it because there are some components that we may like to see some adjustments in that are significant for the county. And then working to see how that where that goes, that will have an impact on our solid waste management plan. Some of the other components that we'll talk about will be the waste energy facility, of course, the MRF and the expansion of the MRF, our transfer stations, which we're looking at as a component, construction and demolition debris, food composting. There are a lot of different sludge from our treatment plants is also a solid waste component that we're looking at. So there are a lot of different components, and as you know, this the waste energy facility. We have an agreement with Wheeler Grader Westchester for the RESCO facility, which runs at least 10 years. So as far as that goes, we're looking at a 10-year planning sequence going out for that. It does have three more renewals at 5 years apiece, one at the county's option and two with mutual option. So it could go up to another 25 years as the first agreement. So do you just want to add anything to that?
I would just add that since the draft came out a few weeks ago, we've been going through it, putting together our comments. That's really our first order of business. There's going to be a series of town hall type meetings for the planning units to submit their comments on the draft. And there's also a July 6th deadline for DEC to receive written comments. And that's what we're working with Malcolm Perney
well,
now.
Let me ask you a question. When you say town hall type meetings, are those going to be in towns in Westchester?
There's no, there are none scheduled for Westchester. For our region, I believe they're going to hold it at the health department in New York City.
Yeah. Well, could we, I think it's important that we get Westchester citizens' input. Could we, whether it's you or we as the board, facilitating for you? Because I know we've got, I see two representatives of governments here just at this meeting, and I know other governments are interested. Is this the kind of thing where we could facilitate a meeting to get input?
Absolutely, we're going to be speaking with the municipalities. We've also already, a couple of weeks ago, we had our district advisory board meeting. We let them know that the comment period's coming up. We're going to keep them advised so they can submit their comments and have all the municipalities submit their comments to us. And I guess we'll work as kind of a clearinghouse for the district to submit the district's comments to DEC.
Okay.
What we did here was we first started off with an annotated table of contents for what the plan update would include. What we did was this is a table of contents required for the legislation for Part 360 as well as we went to a couple of the other plans that have already been approved by DEC from like New York City to get a handle as to what they had included in their updates. And so we basically drafted up this table of contents for the plan update to touch upon the major sections of those regulations. The first couple of sections have to deal with some of the background information about what the county's waste plan is right now, as well as some of the population data, waste projections, waste quantities and characterization, and then the remaining, and also talking about what existing programs are in place and what are some of the initiatives that are upcoming. Then going on into the next sections, next section 5 talks about the technology evaluation, which will be based upon the waste criteria or waste composition that we developed in the previous sections. And then we'll talk about the integrated system selection and talk about some of these items that we discussed, such as converting open top transfer stations, looking at the North Tier recycling facility, and other ideas that might come up during the planning process. And then the last section being an implementation schedule to lay out the pathway for any upgrades or updates to the plan.
And this kind of dovetails in with the RESCO agreement, where if we see some emerging technologies, we have a set aside for 50,000 tons a year to be able to divert to those emerging technologies. Should we want to do a pilot or a trial, we have that opportunity if something that looks promising.
I just wondered, only because and I wondered if it gets addressed in here or whether the conversion, the retooling of the MRF to handle the greater the higher number of recyclables,
sure.
Is that part of this? I mean, do we have a timetable for that?
Oh, yeah. We've already started purchasing the equipment. It should be delivered by the end of the summer. Right. We should be receiving the equipment by the end of the summer. Construction would start in the fall.
And when would we be able to start recycling those items?
Construction is going to take about 4 to 5 months, yeah. I think.
Installation.
So to install the new equipment. And then immediately we're going to be able to. The districts will have to do it, I guess, originally on a voluntary basis, which it's to their benefit to do it anyway,
sure.
Because you're saving $25 a ton,
yeah.
Not disposing it at RESCO. But then perhaps down the road we'll be here asking you to you know, to amend the law to make it the law to recycle ones through sevens.
So we're
looking like at next January, if I may?
Yeah.
By next January.
Thank you.
So it's all plastics. Is this the major change?
That's the major change. Well, I should, you know, it's also going to increase output at the MRF. And we're going to be able to handle more material. So we might discuss again opening it up to private haulers. And also, we're going to reduce our residuals. Residuals are the recyclables that get through the process and aren't pulled out. We're going to be able to reduce residuals by 20% was it, Joe?
About
20% reduction in residuals. So that means more money to the county as well, because we'll be able to market those recyclables we can.
So the gray paper, the cereal boxes, that does that work? Because I heard the things that wasn't such a great.
The retrofit's just on the co-mingle side. It's not going to change anything on the paper and cardboard.
So the paper cardboard, just whatever you're doing now, but are you able to handle that cereal box type of?
Gray cardboard's fine.
Plastic bags?
Plastic bags will be better equipped to handle plastic bags, but we're still not going to encourage it because it really gums up the machinery.
So it still would be better maybe not to even have them around.
It's still better not to have the plastic
bags. We're taking them at the household chemical cleanup bag.
Getting back to your point, you said the equipment is going to be installed, will be up by January, and then you may be back to us for new legislation about changing the law to require 1-7s. Why don't we do that now so that we're ready to do that when the machinery's up and running? Let's do that legislation now and say as of January 1, 2011, everyone's got to recycle 1-7. Why would we wait until after we have the machinery and we're not using it?
Well, I think we need to take this in a stepwise fashion. And what we'd like to do is, once we get this up and running, is to put out notices to all the municipalities that are in the district to go 1-7s for all your food grade items, all your drink and beverage containers and things of that nature. Because we'd like to see all the equipment run with that before we start saying any plastic, which might be the flower pots and all the different things. We want to see how it handles it, because certain things you could we don't want swimming pools. You know, we don't want people
I just have numbers on the bottom.
But could we do some sort of conditional or partial legislation? I'd hate for us to be spending all this money on new equipment. January 1 rolls around and, you know, we're getting 3 bottles and you know, 6
yogurt cups.
Yeah, you know,
I put them in though anyway.
Well, that's the residual.
You know, I hear what you're saying. We don't want to gum up the works, literally and figuratively. But can't we do 2 things at once here?
I mean, I can have Malcolm Purdy speak to this, but generally there's a test period when this type of equipment is put in, just to make sure that it's doing exactly what we want to do, and there's going to be performance tests done on the equipment. I would hate to have you pass it, and then the equipment has to come out and be, you know, refurnished.
Well, if we're committed to this, couldn't we pass the legislation with a date further out, knowing that there's a test period?
That's possible.
That's possible, yeah.
I understand that. From an engineering standpoint, from a management standpoint, you don't want to open up day one and find out the works get gummed up. But you know, maybe we can have a conversation offline, and if someone from the administration's here, from the county executive's office, you know, let's talk about, you know, moving ahead on parallel fronts.
Right. It's also going to require increased education campaign also.
Right, exactly. So there's
going to
be
happening. Sure.
Right, a lead time from the public as well. Okay, let's get, you know, I know some people have specific questions about the plan or input. I've got a few here. I'll open it up to legislators and we'll open it up to the public. Again, I just want to get back to that public input level, because I have a lot of people I know in my district and also as chair of this committee, I hear from people who work in this field or who have ideas about this. We had a presentation, you know, to Tom's point about the alternatives, about wood composting and generating wood energy. So, you know, there are a lot of people who are behind this thing, and I think we need to maximize opportunities for public input. So if this committee can be of help. You know, we'd be happy to schedule a meeting and invite, you know, half the world in. It'd just be a listening session. Whatever we can do to be helpful for you to facilitate input, we're willing to do that. The first question I have has to do with e-waste. I hear a lot about how challenging it is to get rid of e-waste, either as an individual, as a corporate entity, or as a municipality. Have you given any thought to that, or you know, what is your thinking now? Are you open to hearing from folks?
Absolutely. The answer is yes. We've been doing a lot of work on e-waste over the past year. We recently threw out two vendors that were working with the county. We performed site visits to their facilities and announced and unannounced site visits. One of our vendors was not doing what they told us they were supposed to be doing with the e-waste. We're very cognizant of where it's going downstream, and that's where most of our due diligence lies, to make sure that it's being disassembled in the U.S. and only component parts are being sent overseas, so we're not in a situation like you've seen on Frontline and other news programs where full components are being sent overseas and dismantled overseas. We're very confident that the vendors we're working with now are doing it the right way, but the right way is a lot more expensive. It's a big cost to the district to handle the e-waste. For those reasons, we've reduce the number of e-waste days that we're going to hold, but we're keeping the program where the e-waste pods are available at, I think, 24 different municipalities where residents of the district can drop off e-waste during business hours.
Do we have a listing of that? Is
sure,
online?
I can get that for you, sure.
Is it
is
on the
online.
Website?
Yeah, it's on the county website.
Oh, thanks.
We still take them at the household recycling days. There's plans to go forward with the household recycling facility. E-waste will be accepted at the household recycling facility, but the e-waste plan will all be addressed in the solid waste management plan also for the 10 years going forward.
And I think ultimately what we'd like to see is a product stewardship where the manufacturers are taking it back and taking the cost away from the municipalities and putting it where it should be.
Are you also looking at the gas recovery from the Croton landfill? I know there was discussion for a while about tapping that for energy use, and then as opposed to just the flaring that we do now, is that something that would be addressed in this plan, or would that need to be a separate?
Well, we've taken a look at it. We've basically kind of missed the bus on when that was available, because for many, many years that landfill was uncapped. And I think most of the gas probably escaped during that time. Once it was capped, when we looked at the amount of gas, and it's trailed off over the years, and right now it's just not cost effective to do much with it. We've looked at whether it's turbines or whatever, micro turbines. There just isn't enough gas there. We're really down at the bottom of the bell curve for that particular landfill, because it's been closed for 20 some odd years now. So there really isn't much gas left there. Most of the gas that we're getting now is probably coming out of what we call Railroad 1, which is the smaller landfill on the side, which was just municipal solid waste when they were in the process of closing the Croton, the main landfill.
Go ahead. Been on that. We've heard this over and over again, and I remember, been here long enough, way back when, we pushed for this and we were told it wasn't economical, and then, I don't know, there was a study done and we were told it wasn't possible to do. Well, actually, at one point the administration was going to do it, and then just never did it. That was, I don't know, 15 years ago maybe. And then we were told that, do we have any real studies as to how much gas is in there, or is this all estimates?
No, we take readings of the gas, and right now we don't run the flare all the time. It's down to intermittent use, really just to make sure that there's no buildup in the main landfill.
But can you sink wells in different places than where you are now? Or is that not permissible given the way that it's been covered?
Well, I think you'd have to penetrate the liner and set up a whole new well system. And there's so many wells up there that the coverage is so good. I don't think you would gain anything by it. It's not like they're spread way apart. There's numerous wells up there to collect the gas.
It's hard to believe that with all of that gas up there, we can't do something. I mean, with all of that garbage up there, it's not producing something. I thought this just keeps producing it over as the stuff breaks down, or it's not breaking down anymore.
Well, I think you reach a point where most of the organic matter that was in there has broken down, and the other stuff will just trail off slowly. So there's still some material in there, but like if you have hard plastics or things like that, that's not really going to break down. That'll break down over long periods of time, where if you have organic matter like foodstuffs, even newspaper doesn't break down because the ink basically kills the microbes. So that newspaper will stay for a very long time.
Thank you. Just for the record, we're joined by Legislator Kaplowitz and Legislator Abenaki. Welcome, gentlemen. Go ahead.
Going back to this chart of the municipally collected waste, what are these? These are tons?
What
are these? The numbers that are on this. I'm just wondering what the units that are being measured are.
This is 2008.
Oh, that's 2008. Sorry.
Well, I don't have that.
Oh, yeah. Do we?
You don't have that?
Okay. Did we get an update?
Hmm.
I didn't see 2008.
This is the
2008 report card?
Yeah, but we have a 9.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say the 2009 report card should be out later this week.
Oh, good.
Okay. We'd love to see that when it comes out.
Of course.
The and other just thing, what is it that's being measured here? I mean, are these tons, weight, what, pounds?
This is overall tonnage.
Tonnage.
It's this the final column should be the percentage should be recyclables weighed against total recyclables and garbage.
But it's tonnage. These are tons.
Yes.
What did you do after last year's report, after 2018?
Recycled it.
Good old folks. He'll be here all week, folks. Did you do any additional education and outreach? I mean, clearly some towns were better than others. Did you do outreach to try and increase?
Constantly. We have meetings with the municipal recycling officials during the year. We go over new techniques and collection responsibilities. We also have a vigorous enforcement program now that I think we've spoken about. Where we have inspectors go out and review loads dumped at transfer stations. They also go to town centers throughout the county and review recycling practices of businesses, schools, hospitals, and they issue violations, apartment buildings, which are probably one of the biggest concerns. They issue violations. They're also available to help implement recycling programs at businesses and apartment buildings and condo units. So we do that all year. We've also been working, this year was new, we started working with the Department of Health inspectors and also weights and measures inspectors. They now refer recycling cases to us where they think, gas stations or hotels or restaurants that they're investigating, when they feel they're not in compliance, they'll refer the case to us and our inspectors do a follow-up inspection to make sure that those entities are recycling properly. So yeah, we throughout the year we're doing education and enforcement programs to try to increase the rate.
As a follow-up on that, to the commissioner's point about once the new equipment is in, to open up 1 through 7 and maybe inviting more business in through people maybe not necessarily in the district. For instance, 4 of the 6 towns I represent aren't in the district. We could increase their recycling by perhaps giving them access in county to those facilities. So in addition, we're generating revenue, and then it's an access point for more education.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of vocabulary words. Deposit containers. Can you explain what's a deposit container? It's number two. I mean, it's a footnote. Number two.
Redeemed under the
Returnable Container Act.
Diet Coke.
That's the program with. This is the ARC program that they're referring to there.
I mean, it's like a waste. I mean, just a.
Deposit containers are your 5 cent aluminum cans. And now with the bigger, better bottle bill, it includes water bottles, things like that.
So if you look at those, so it would be basically municipalities that have because most of these come from supermarkets. That's not done commercially.
It's not supermarkets. Supermarkets have their own.
They do their own.
This is mostly all municipalities bringing. There's still deposit cans.
They're also, they pick up from. People putting them out. I mean,
sure. So some people don't.
So they put them in the recycle dump. That's taken out of the recycle dump and separated out for the money.
What we do, and we're given an award by Westchester Arc. We work with Westchester Arc. We give them all the aluminum, for instance, whether it's cans or whatever. They pay us the market rate, and then they separate them out into. The different manufacturers, Coke, Pepsi, whatever.
Oh, I see. So
and they get 8.5 cents a can.
Okay, so if we look at that column, this is really the amount, essentially, of the depositable containers that people throw into their recycled garbage, and it's recycled, and it's sorted out at the plant. That describes that. Bulk metal. Do the municipalities pay the 20? What do they pay per ton for the bulk metal?
They either have it picked up for free or they get paid for their bulk metal.
And they just report it.
They're just reporting the tonnage to us.
I see. Well, either Harrison's doing something that...
Harrison is always one of the leaders.
What's going on in Harrison? At least we're not,
I don't
not
know.
Paying for
they
my taxes,
they,
though.
They received an award in our state for their bulk metal
program. I mean, it's like not even close. Either they can teach everyone else what to do, but I'm not paying for my taxes in Harrison, though.
No.
I'm paying for everything else.
They're making money on that.
They're making that. Well, that's incredible. All right.
Maybe they don't have as many third-party haulers there to take it away.
Well, I know, Mr. Chairman, because we get
the vigorous pickup program. Right.
You know. I have some other questions, but we could devote parts of another meeting to this.
Yeah, let's get back to the plan.
So I have okay, so I'll leave that to another thing. It always seemed to me that New York City parts. Who knows how many hundreds of millions of tons of their garbage in landfills. Technology's changed. There's an article in here how the garbage waste-to-energy technology has gotten better environmentally over the last several years. Siting and other political issues, but from an environmental point of view, it appears that even from 10, 15 years ago, this technology has had some advancements. So, with the legislator from Peekskill City here, what's the possibility of working a deal with New York City that we can make some money, bring in some environmental trade-offs, because we'd be doing a lot of work to help the environment from carbon emissions.
You mean like nitrogen trading?
Nitrogen trading. Peekskill would have to. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of room up at Charles Point, wherever it's going. Not Charles Point, it's Charles Point, right? It's the Peekskill facility.
Resco.
To stick on even a small fourth boiler to make some money off of New York City, and if Peekskill will go along with it. Maybe it was this. I assume this has been explored over the years. He doesn't have to say anything.
Tell you what the mayor will say.
They're permitted for 710 now, 710,000, and they're only burning at their best.
We're way under that.
658, 657.
Well, but in terms of doing a deal specifically with New York City, you couldn't. You have to.
Have garbage coming up from New York City now.
They do have garbage
through their own company, through waste management. What happens is in the contract, if we can't supply them enough garbage, they have the right to go out of county for it.
So there is
garbage from New York City coming up.
Because that's almost open ended. I mean, we can build three Rescos up there in New York City if we're being. But no, just that general. There's something
tagging on to that point. Absolutely.
Since he brought it up, and I noticed it's on here on your table of contents, the closure of the Sprout Brook site. How's that?
Those final plans are up in DEC now. Wait for approval. I mean, as you know, since October 21, we haven't accepted any ash anymore.
And right now, it's going by truck.
They're trucking it out to Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Yeah, and we all we're doing up there is maintaining the facility. We have to clean the lines, the leachate lines, you know, cut the grass. We sample the well water and the leachate on a quarterly basis, all under the, you know, DEC permit.
There was a plan by a private carter up there near the plant that they were going to take away some waste via the railroad system. Have you been involved with that at all, or is that anything that could be used?
Well,
we've heard about it.
we have heard about different things. We have been given some information about a site over by the Montrose shopping area there. Mm-hmm. There's a site where a rail spur could be put in. We're looking at it. There may be some environmental concerns about the property. So, you know, it's something that has to be looked at. It's really in the early stages.
I'm just wondering, it was a private venture that seems to have halted. I'm just wondering if it would be beneficial for the county to pick up the ball and use it for county purposes rather than...
Well, there is a provision in our agreement with RESCO that if we save money below a certain cost per ton on ash disposal, that the county could share in that. Mm-hmm. So certainly if we had that access, it might be possible.
All right, we'll let Legislator Rogowski finish, and I have Legislator Kaplowitz.
Coming back to this draft plan...
I've asked all.
What is the relationship of this plan to us, the 2009, there's an action plan moving forward. Is this, are certain things that are mandatory? You have to wait for this to come out? Or are things that you're going to be mandated to do? Or is this just guidance and we come up with our county plan based on whatever we do? What's the relationship between this plan and what we're working on?
Right. Well, this plan's still in draft form. But
right.
When it's finalized, our plan should address all the topics that they want.
So it needs to address it.
It's our guideline.
It's your, but there's nothing. They don't mandate specific programs. Something that you're going to have to do, or this
well,
is
there
just
are.
Guidance.
I mean, we're going to comment on some of the mandates. They're planning on changing the reporting requirements for this recycling report that you were talking about. Right now, the way we calculate our recycling rates, the counties and the districts in New York State. We include recycled construction and demolition debris. We include this when our sludge is used in a beneficial use downstream. They're proposing to take that out of the equation, and we're opposed to that because actually, you know, a lot of construction demolition debris is rock, dirt. Cement that goes right back into the construction process, so we feel that it's kind of it's not a true estimate of the amount of waste the county's recycling to take that out of the equation. But also they're moving to a per capita reporting, so rather than telling you that you know, Peekskill recycled 46% of their waste last year, they want to do a per capita where you'd say the resident in Westchester County, a typical resident, produced however X many tons per resident of waste, and however X many tons recycled. And that right now, Westchester County is in about the top 10 of all counties in the state. Out of the 63 counties, we're in the top 10 recycling-wise. We'd probably plummet in that rating if you went to a per capita rating system, because an affluent county is going to produce much more waste per capita. So I really feel that that's bias against your New York City and the counties surrounding it to go by a per capita rating.
Well, to statistics aside, but still on the issue of mandates, one of the things that all of us at this table are particularly sensitive to are the unfunded mandates.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can let us know what is in the draft plan that's going to end up costing us money without a corresponding funding stream, please let us know ASAP. Because that's the kind of thing that we will take to our colleagues on the state level, because we are extremely sensitive to the unfunded state mandates. I mean, we're seeing it, the districts that Mike and John and I represent, you know, $80 million in phosphorus remediation projects because of new MS4 requirements. That's $80 million, which is a very real mandate. So if there are things like that apply to you and and the waste management plan, please let us know so
sure.
we can try to head those off. Because what we all know, once they're on the books, they're not going away.
Well, the plan, the way it's drafted now, puts obligations on us to look at ways of dealing with food waste composting, with to look at our organic waste composting, look at C&D recycling. So, I mean, all of those obligations are going to require some type of, you know, some type of capital, whether it's in a pilot program or something bigger. There is a burden on all the districts to look at new technologies and to look at all these different waste streams. And you mentioned e-waste before also.
Okay.
I just want to quite finish up.
All right.
Just so I
follow up on letters.
So be clear, so just understanding the process here and how we fit in working, trying to help you guys. This is a draft. I assume you have Malcolm Perry, you're starting, but you're saying you need to wait till this goes final, and this gives you the final guidance to do what you need to do.
Right, but we're not waiting. We're putting
We're putting comments on this plan, but have you started putting together the county plan itself, or are you right now you're limited to commenting?
Just a broad outline.
Okay, so
you really
commenting
need to
see
what's
so
going to be in this
in
plan.
A sense, when this goes final, only then will you really turn up the speed on really now generating
that's
the plan to do in 2012, right? So, okay, so I just want to get a sense of where we are in the process. Mostly commenting on this, kind of getting ready, but only when this goes final are you really going to kind of do
There are a few programs we're looking at where we think that there may actually be positive revenue from them, mm-hmm. and C&D may be one. Certainly we're looking at our sludge to turn it into energy. That may be another. So we're going forward with those because we think either way there are benefits.
And when do you expect this to go final? Do you have any idea?
Best guess. They've been working on it for about 15 years.
Yeah. We're hopeful that by the fall, but...
But you have but your milestone, you have a 2012 deadline. Now, that's not going to move. If they take another year and a half to finalize this, are you still on that 2012 hook, or is your work in response to this? 2012, no matter what.
Our plans do 2012.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Legislator Kepler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We don't do any landfilling, do we? I mean, we're out of the landfill business, or
well, just the ash that gets landfilled.
And with the four Sprout Brook closing, we're going where with the ash then? So there's
it's not our responsibility.
We're not going there.
It's Resco's responsibility under the new contract,
right. But it's still
our ash.
ash. So some responsibility to it.
In more ways than one.
What's that? Okay, there you go.
Boom, boom.
One of the when we were when I was chairman of the environment committee, we had looked at and I guess a dream that some of us still have of trying to take some of the plastic material that is oil based and trying to move that to corn based and some different way, the forks, the spoons, the knives that you use once at a picnic, mm-hmm. that then get in some parts of the country landfilled, they sit there for quite a long time, where the corn base break down in 40, 60 days in that. You know, that's still something that we should look at, and maybe something we could even step up. You know, that we're not trying to create a mandate to others, but just as we have directed our legislation to affect social policy and other policies, this could be an area of education. This could be an area that could make a huge impact. Again, just think plastic forks, spoons, and knives. Even if we moved our college away from it, you know, anything that we have within our direct purview, and it might be something that this committee could work on to try to educate, and you do that before you turn to a mandate. Because again, while it doesn't have any as much direct impact because you burn that material, right? We can't recycle it. It's burned, and the ash is quite a bit less than the fork itself or the spoon itself or the device itself. Nonetheless, it still has a footprint, and that footprint then has to be, you know, landfilled for some time. This would give us a chance to educate people that there is a better way to do this and a more environmentally friendly way to do that. So
yeah, sure.
Maybe that's...
Yeah, no, just, you know, we've already looked into, you mentioned the college, and we've been looking at a pilot program possibly at the Grasslands campus with the jail and the college and the hospital that would incorporate a food waste pilot, and that would also incorporate using, you know, organic plates and spoon forks.
And the plastic containers. You go and you get on a line for salad, you put it in there, you literally sit down with it, eat it, and then throw that out. Mm-hmm. That's then, as I understand it, in some landfill that stays there for quite some time versus, you know, a corn-based type product, which at least the research we did showed that it breaks down much sooner.
Yeah.
And I think there's even Sun Chips, there's even the company
yeah, the new bag.
Made a whole advertising yeah. about that disappearing. So, you know, it's the volume has to be huge on that stuff, right? I mean, that's
packaging and reducing packaging is important. That's certainly true.
And the more you do, the lower the cost itself comes down per unit. I mean, there is a differential, you know, between doing it right and doing it current. But as we've learned in so many ways, the more you do it right, the more the volume brings that cost down, so that doing it right eventually is, there's no premium to that cost, and there's only benefits and sue at that particular point. So, you know, if you could, certainly, Mr. Chairman, if we could look to what we have jurisdiction over, the jail, that's right, the jail, as well as the college. You know, we don't have the cafeteria downstairs, but, you know, perhaps that's something we could ask them to put a more aggressive plan together.
Perhaps in our relationship with the hospital, too, since they're all right there.
Right. That we could make a meaningful step there. So, you know, let's not forget that's an easy way to try to make a big environmental difference, hence the committee that we're all on. Thank you.
Sure. We've met with the hospital as well, and they were interested in the Great. Joint program.
All right, I have one last question, then we'll open it up to our guests. How are you linking this to the county's efforts to address climate change? Is this integrated with the county's climate change plan of, you know, if your members presented last year through the task force?
Well, I think it has to do with using less energy. Some of the things, for instance, the sludge. We're trying to handle it closer to home so we don't have the truck trips of taking it out to Pennsylvania. So those types of things, you know, just the transportation issue.
I agree with you. I would like to see some sort of formal integration, I think, because the county and the public went to great time and expense to develop a global warming task force and their recommendations for everything that the county did and does. And I would just love to see, and I don't think it's a lot of extra steps, but let's formally integrate the two, because everything we do as a county should be still following that lead and integrated into that. And as I said, you may not be doing anything different, but let's just show that we're doing that and we're taking the extra step.
Yes. Okay. One thing was when we received a proposal from Wheeler Brader to continue using RESCO, they did put in their proposal, which was a request by the county as part of the RFP, their savings on greenhouse gases from choosing their alternative over another alternative. So we could go back to some of that information to pull that out.
Great.
That shows that.
Thanks. Questions from the public?
Richard Lyman, I'm a councilman at Pound Ridge. First of all, how does one obtain the full text for this?
There's a link on the DEC website.
This is the state one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't comment on. The outline doesn't give you much to talk about.
Chris, can we provide the link?
Sure, I'll email it to you.
Thanks, Chris.
We'll email the link.
Couldn't
everybody.
Bring it Thank with you, us. It's a 260-page report. So.
480.
Well, so, whatever it is, you know, you can't comment on it if you can't read it. The big issue for us right now is e-waste. We're outside of the district. We have a very good response from our residents regarding recycling. They bring currently all of their e-waste right now to our recycling facility. I don't know what to do with it. And I just heard now that you have taken two of the vendors that the county was taking stuff to, and you've dismissed them. And I'm not sure who or what you dismissed, but we're stuck with a pile of this stuff now. I don't know what to do with it.
I'd be happy to work with, you know, Pound Ridge on identifying responsible e-waste vendors. There's several organizations that do due diligence background checks on e-waste vendors and their downstream markets, and you know, I can put you in touch with those organizations. You can work with our staff in identifying responsible e-waste vendors. It's expensive to do it the right way. But,
we're in the unenviable position right now of actually charging our residents to drop it off.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's tough to have a mandate put on you that says you must recycle this stuff and then have to charge people in order to drop it off because we can't afford to accept it. And then on top of that, be put in a position. We have one outfit, We Recycle, that looks to be like we can enter into a contract with them. But it's expensive.
Yeah.
You're right.
They're one of the ones that do it right.
To that point, though, Mr. Chairman, we have our household collection days where we do e-waste, do we not?
That's for district members.
Okay, but is there something that we can do on a buying basis or some kind of sharing basis with our sister community and allow them some opportunity to dovetail?
We would provide an e-waste event for them, but it would have to be paid for by the out-of-district municipality.
But is that cheaper than they're paying currently?
I don't know. I mean, I can work with them.
I would work with them to do it.
Sure. Yes.
And isn't there a revenue component to our e-waste? In other words, don't we receive revenue? I remember when we looked at this years and years ago.
It's very costly to get rid of the e-waste.
Right, but I thought we get some offset in terms of revenue to the expense of holding these household chemical days. We do not get any revenue offset at all.
No, it's
we get it from the shredder because we can sell the paper.
Not from e-waste itself.
I thought.
Well, yeah, we get a little bit of an offset, as Tom said, from the paper, from bulk metals.
Okay.
But bulk metals. Right, but nothing near the cost of the event.
So the question is, with those net in there, is there an opportunity to do two things? One, to look to see if we can help Pound Ridge. And two, can't Pound Ridge still invite their people? I mean, when you go to Rye Playland or you go to the various locations, you just ask if you're a Westchester resident, right? We don't ask, are you in the sanitary sewer district? That was the waste district. Yeah, I spent too much time on that subject. Sorry, on the solid waste management.
We don't check what driver's licenses. Yeah.
The difficulty with that is the practicality of it, of having individual residents go from one side of the county to the other to drop off a toaster. And
goes back to the greenhouse gas.
It's our feeling by consolidating stuff, just for efficiency's sake, one load, as opposed to 40 cars, seems to make a lot more sense. But we can't do that.
Unless you join the district.
Or we'll see if there's some way.
Well, we're still taxpayers. I mean, the district is one.
No. You're not paying district taxes.
No. The county taxes are completely separate from district taxes. But two different things.
And that's why it's illegal for us to open it up to non-district municipalities, because they're not paying the district tax.
All right, well, you said you'd be happy to sit down.
I'd be happy to work. Yeah, no, I mean,
all right, so we'll do that offline. We'll set up a sit down, and we'll see what we can do there.
Maybe we can make it a little more cost effective.
Thank you. Thank you. I saw another hand. Ma'am.
Yes, I'm Ann Jeffy Holmes from the Greenberg Nature Center. We're doing a tremendous amount of education on recycling now in the schools and with the community. And I maybe missed it because I was a little late for this meeting, but what is the time frame expectancy for the county being able to recycle all seven forms of plastic?
January.
Everything should be online by the beginning of next year, by January.
January 2011?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you recommend that we be teaching in our classes right now? That fact can we start teaching that in as of January 2011 people will be able to recycle all plastic, but right now still 1 and 2?
Well, the plan is to go online as of January. It's not finalized because we have to see how the construction and installation goes, but we're going to have an education campaign to let residents know and businesses know that it's available to recycle all plastics.
Okay, very good. And what about wax cartons?
Wax cartons should be included in your garbage, like milk cartons.
Right, okay. Do we have anything in the works for doing that, recycling those eventually, because they do in other places?
It's market driven, and we don't really have a market here to sell the waxed cardboard, but it's not landfilled. It goes up to Resco, and it's used, burned, and used to produce energy. So,
thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Phil Pepe. With thanks to DEF, you really put Westchester at the forefront, I think, in recycling. And a compliment at the local level. I live in Yonkers. Commissioner Lazewski has worked with our co-op, 66 families. And I think we have a recycling program that both sides are proud of. We do it as believers and practitioners. A couple of questions. The mythology on the New Jersey landfills, when you drive down the New Jersey Turnpike, there are gas collection facilities all along there. The mythology has always been that the gas collected provided enough electricity for almost 50,000 homes. Now, we don't have anything comparable in Westchester, but Commissioner, to your comment, is there a point in time that that's going to trail off and become negligible, or are there sites in Westchester where we could possibly generate some energy? I mean, we're at this, these days, natural gas is so cheap it's, it isn't worth it, but we remember days when that wasn't the case.
Well, any capped landfill where they're not putting any more organic material in, and they ramp up and they hit a peak and then they start trailing off. So depending on the age of the landfill after it was capped, it does trail off and it doesn't become cost effective anymore, or there just isn't enough gas.
Have we tried quantifying how much gas up in Groton?
We'd actually talked. Were you here when we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, yes, we have.
That's what I'm trying to say.
We have the numbers,
I feel more comfortable
and
hearing.
We're way on the downside of the bell curve for that. I think we probably run the flare maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday for just an 8-hour cycle, where that used to run continuously 24/7.
And what about the Yonkers sewage treatment plant? That flare seems to be on often. Can that methane be collected down there?
Absolutely, that's renewable. And we are in the process of working with NYPA to put in an anaerobic digester gas generator, so we'll produce electricity from that gas.
You know, happily, the fifth largest consumer of electricity in Westchester County is right next door. It's the Sugar House. And they pay fabulous amounts for their
energy. And they're the largest consumer of gas, too.
Yeah. Are we using tires to energy at Resco?
No.
Why?
We collect the tires. They're not allowed to burn.
They can't burn them by permit. It's sulfur emissions.
I mean, essentially, it's a quart of petroleum in the form of a tire. They're burnable. They can produce good energy. And left uncollected, they become havens of standing water and mosquitoes.
We do have a tire program. Okay. We do collect them.
I hope there'll be a day when we can burn them. That's a personal.
Well, it's
just don't burn them at peak scale, that's all.
Yeah.
Smells enough.
My last two questions have to do with transportation. You said that there was extra waste coming up from New York City, and that's allowable under the contract. How many tons, and is it brought by rail or truck? Roughly.
It's truck.
It's brought by truck.
Tractor trail, 100 yard transfer trailers. I'm saying less than 100,000 tons a year.
Why not by rail?
There's no rail siding next to that.
Why not by tugboat?
Why not by
Hudson?
Because then you get involved with the fish spawner. They get nuts with that stuff. There's certain times of the year when they do a water cooling in the boiler and they have to let hot water out into the river. They have to lower the temperature of the water,
clear water
so that they don't interfere with the bass spawner. It's a sensitive area.
You can't bring it back.
Coordinate with Indian for what reason, Mike?
By where?
It can't be brought by barge.
I don't think it's deep enough over there next to the plant.
And the ash to Massachusetts, how many tons or yards? And
is that about 175,000 tons a year.
Truck or rail?
Truck.
Why not rail?
There's no rail side that's close by.
That's what we're looking at. Yeah. There used to be a rail siding in Croton, and they're looking at possibly one in Peekskill Montrose area.
It was a state-of-the-art rail siding in Croton.
Yeah.
And look, for 10 years we've had competition in rail freight in New York State. We didn't have it for 30 years before that. It's an ideal time. These companies, I'm not advocating for the rail industry, but I'm saying you can ship over 100 tons in one hopper car, and that's at least two trucks.
Yeah, they have intermodals.
Legislator Agowski. Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, you mentioned the project down at the Yonkers treatment plant with burning the digester gas. I just want to, I'm glad you mentioned that, and I hope I hear different rumors through the administration that as all these capital projects are being reviewed, that there's some pushback on that. I would hope that you would educate, if you will, the members of the new administration that if they're not interested in having the Yonkers plant sell bonds through NYPA,
we'll do is won't cost us anything, and we'll save all that money, you know, we'll save all that energy. So I hope that message will get through the administration that if they're looking at the bonding, just deal with NYPA, let NYPA do it as we've worked on for the last year and a half. So I hate to see that project. I'm going to save $700,000 a year in electricity. I hate to see that project kind of put aside because someone doesn't understand the funding mechanism of that. We spent too much time on that too.
Right, that is not bonded. That is.
So that's the plan, is to go with NYPA. So I mean, I
still that is the plan.
Okay, good.
Okay, I think there's a 4 o'clock appointments meeting. So I think what I'd like to do is wrap this up. Just a couple of points that we're going to follow up on. One is if when it comes to the time for public input, we're happy to help here if that's something we can help with, because as Dick expressed his local municipality's concerns, I know of others, we as legislators are happy to help facilitate that. We also said we're going to follow up on the legislation for the 1 through 7s. So, you know, we're doing something rather than waiting until all the equipment is in and functional so we don't have that lag time. So we're going to work on that. And then the other thing is you are going to hook up with Pound Ridge. Maybe after this meeting, you guys can exchange information. Was there anything else I missed for follow-up?
Yeah, where do we recycle this?
I think also we're looking forward to the 2009 recycling report.
It should be up by the end of the week.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming, and we look forward to updates as you go along, and however this committee can assist. We look forward to it, and thanks, everybody, for coming. Appreciate it. Do we have a motion to close?
Motion.
Legislator Testa, seconded by Legislator Gowski. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
I'm going to get a whole bunch of them.